Vectus Radio podcasts are sponsored by Break the Cycle CIC, rebuilding self-esteem in people who have experienced domestic abuse. For more, email hello@breakthecycle.org.uk.
Do you know what? It's times and moments like these you realise what's happened in the last 18 months and how much you've missed people and how long you haven't seen certain people for. And it's really quite scary. It really is how the last 18 months have absolutely sort of flown by. And there's lots of people that you haven't seen. You know, they may be friends, they may be family and so on. And then when you see them, it's just like old times. Nothing's changed. But, of course, we've had that break. So, Arthur, how are you?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you, Macaroon. How are you doing?
I'm all right. You look great. You
do
look,
I?
I expected
You're
you to be...
the first person to say that.
Well, I expected you to look like a little old man.
I am a little old man.
No, you're still a big old man, but...
Yeah. I had a trip to the hospital last year with a collapse, I did, so there you go. Well, I am getting old. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, honestly, you look well.
Lovely nurses in there. Lovely nurses in there.
I don't know how to take that. I don't know whether they say, lovely nurses, they all do a great job, or is it nudge, nudge, wink, wink?
This is lovely nurses in the A&E. If they're listening, lovely nurses in the A&E.
I think the NHS are fantastic, especially here on the island. I really do. I think they've done an incredible job.
I was pestered by a fly in there as well.
Really?
Yeah. And they didn't believe me there was a fly in there. And I said, there's a blinking fly in here. And the woman came in and she said, we don't have flies in A&E, sir. I said, there's a fly in here. And they went outside and I heard her say, well, that bloke's hallucinating. He thinks there's a fly in here. Then down the corridor, I hears, nurse, there's a fly in here. It follows me around, that fly.
Yeah, every Wednesday it's in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be surprised if it came with you.
Just a minute.
So, how you been, though? How you been the last 18 months?
It's all right. It's been, I'll tell you what, one thing I would say to anybody, if you haven't got a garden, you're going to struggle.
Yeah,
but having a garden, somewhere just to walk around, a little bit of peace and quiet. And the most amazing thing about the last, 12 months, 18 months, has been how well the grass, the trees, the flowers, everything has grown so well.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, with being on the Isle of Wight, the weeds have grown up all around the curbs and around your car. Because I don't go out and cut anything. I mean, I took the life in my hands walking through that little alleyway there just now. I had to fight my way through. I think I saw a tiger at one point.
It's the same in our garden. We used to be able to see all the way down.
Yeah.
And we've had like massive amounts of rain, water, and then sunshine and so on. It's like a Triffid. It's like a day of the Triffids in our backyard.
It's amazing. But, I mean, nature will regain its own. It don't matter what we do. It will regain its own, and it'll be still here long after we've gone. And I've got a poem about old things.
Leads us in nicely, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know if I want to read that first. I think we ought to get the elephant in the room out of the way first.
Well, I couldn't bring myself to read it first.
No?
When you said no, because it was all about the Euros, and the reason why I couldn't bring, because I was really upset.
Was you?
I thought we were going to do it.
No,
I really
surely
thought
not.
We were going to. I really thought we were going to do it.
I think we overperformed. Overperformed.
Probably.
They were the best side, the Italians. And with Donna Summer in goal, what can you expect, eh?
Well, he's about 8 foot tall.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's always going to save your penalties, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, we've all got views on it. And as I say, I got upset because Saka missed his penalty. And I thought that was a bit much, asking a 19-year-old to go.
Is he any more to blame than Sancho? I think, see, you've got to look at, what's his name, Rashford. All that running around and left, right. He might as well have gone up and had a cup of tea the time he was running around.
Yeah.
See, then it's the post.
I don't like the idea of blaming
Well,
kids,
I don't like the idea of messing about. I just put it in the net and have done it.
I get that as well. We were always taught.
As in the poem.
Hard and low in the corner. Don't mess around.
As in the poem.
Do you remember David Peach?
No, I don't.
David Peach used to be, you will when I tell you, because he used to be a left back for Southampton.
Right.
And he number three, because that's back in the old days, your number three was left back. David Peach used to take the penalties for Southampton back in the 70s and probably the early 80s. And he would say the best way to take a penalty is you go up, you put the ball down, and as you're walking back to take your run up, before you pick a corner, you don't look at anyone, you don't look at the goalkeeper's eyes, you pick a corner, and that's where you go. Hard and low, in that particular corner. No yeah. messing around.
No messing around.
And I think
around.
He only ever missed one penalty in his yeah. life.
Well, Maguire's was the best one.
That was a peach of a penalty.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
was. Anyway, should we get this elephant
yeah,
out of the
go
room?
On then. Look, then. This is having sat and endured it, I thought I'd better do one about it. So this one's called It Isn't Coming Home. Yeah. Right. Yet again, we all sat motionless, awaiting the inevitable fate. Penalties coming up yet once more, we could only hope and wait. But deep down inside, we all knew the answer once again. We cannot score from 12 yards out, so we must endure more pain. But it isn't just this bunch of kids, it's something more fundamental. From Rashford's kiss on the left-hand post to Sancho, oh so gentle. What will we give for a Jeff Hurst wallop or a psycho great netbuster? A Franny Lee hand stinger or even a Lineker cluster? But now we just all dance around like little girls at school. The goalkeepers must be laughing inside to see players playing the fool. To be an England fan these days needs a good memory, we know, of black and white television and Ken Wolstenholme making the show. Old Bobby Moore lifting the gold, not just a Colombian bracelet. Nobby Styles with his toothless smiles and Banksy never getting his gloves wet. The 30 years have come and gone. Oh, hang on, missed it. Oh, blimey, sorry. I'm reading this off my phone because I forgot to print it out. Right, the 30 years of hurt have come and gone. We now have 55. Soon no one that played in that great final will actually be left alive. We spend our life looking back from empires to world wars. Oh, here we go. West and East. Oh, sorry about this. I've got it on my phone. I'm trying to read it out from my phone, you see, because I forgot to print it out. Hang on. Sorry about this. Talk amongst yourselves. Have a whistle. Right.
You should see
West
this,
and East are now one country, but Germany still has its flaws. We celebrate just beating them, yet they aren't the best. The victory over Germany, we suddenly become obsessed. There are far better football teams out there now, and we really must watch out. Just look at Denmark and Croatia. Even Poland are in with a shout. So let us all start looking forward. Our kids are good enough. The next World Cup in the desert sand should show us they can be tough. We can win a trophy in our national game, but who cares about Adolf? If it then becomes 56 years, we can always take up golf.
Yeah, boom, boom.
There you go.
And right. And yeah, that, see, I like the sound of that. I mean, yeah. At the beginning, I thought, oh, do you know what? I was, no, it's too early. It's too early. I really thought we were going to win. And I think that those three kids are...
I mean, you'd have to say there was much more... there was a few more people in that team who should have stepped up to the plate and taken a penalty.
Yeah,
but,
I think you're right.
You know... We don't get them, do we, eh?
No, I think you're absolutely right. There should have been a few more leaders, and there was.
Yeah.
And I know that they decided that these are the people that were going to take the penalties. But
yeah.
At the same time, I think, no, you put too much responsibility on young people. There were two people there that we mentioned there, Saka and Sancho,
yeah.
That should not have been in that
five.
And
again, you see, young people can do wonders. You've only got to look at that little 13-year-old girl this morning
yeah.
Who got the bronze... In what I would thought was wasn't even a sport, skateboarding, you know? And, I mean, who can't fail to be impressed at something like that?
Yeah.
So kids are good enough. If they're there, they're good enough.
Definitely.
If they're doing the job, they should do the job properly.
Well, you look at that. There was a young lady yesterday, and I got a bee in my bonnet yesterday, Arthur.
Not a fly.
It was a full-on bee. You know, big headline yesterday, roughly around about this time. Simone Biles has won bronze. Hang on a minute. Who won gold? I'll tell you who won gold. It was a Chinese girl, 16, and she was amazing.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it. But the trouble is, when you see these things like that, right, I read an article this morning about the Chinese having the hump because they didn't win at the ping pong or the whiff waff or whatever it's called these days, the table tennis.
Yeah.
They got beaten by Japan to the gold medal and they're a failure.
Wow.
In China,
that's
they're
tough.
A failure.
That's harsh.
We'd be happy just to get to the final, let
yeah.
alone win a medal. But, you know, that's a failure.
That's what I think, you know, those people that have, you know, are feeling the pressure. You can honestly say that those are really going to feel the pressure. There was one runner, the Belarusian, that didn't want to go home because...
Well, could you blame her?
Well,
I mean, you know, It's the last bastion of Commie's state, isn't it?
Well, it is. I'll tell you what was funny the other day. I was watching the baseball.
Yeah.
And the Japanese beat the Americans
at
baseball.
Yeah, I know. I was chuffed to pieces with that.
I'm not
a mega anti-American fan, although I call them septics, because I'm from London, you see. Right. Septic tank yank. So, but, I mean, I have this real annoyance with our language that another younger country comes along and keeps trying to respell our words, right? I don't want to see colour without a U in it.
No, I know what you mean. You gave them a language.
Well, you know.
Use it.
I mean, it goes right through the whole thing, doesn't it? With you know, you come along with something. I mean, the other day, it was like an invalid-type van where you bring a wheelchair out the back, and it had a sign on the back saying, please leave 2 metres space, M-E-T-E-R, metre space, not M-E-T-R-E. So someone's spelling it wrong. Centre, C-E-N-T-R-E, not C-E-N-T-E-R. You know, this is fundamental to my love of an English language. This is why I like poetry, because our language has got so many fantastic words. If there's something, anything in this country, we've got a word for it. And if we haven't got one, we make one up. But normally it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And we've been doing it for centuries. And why would some upstarts come along and start trying to respell it, trying to reinvent a horse? You know, it shouldn't be allowed. We should kick it into touch immediately.
How are you spelling that horse?
Which one? O-R-S-E. I've got nothing against local dialects and things like that. It's just that, to me, I think that if we live in a country, whatever country we are in the world, you should be conversant in that language, full stop. It's no good you going living in France and not speaking French. It's no good you going living in Germany and not speaking German. So why should anybody in this country not speak English?
Yeah, well, I mean, that, what you just said there, and you add in the fact that if you've got like a wagon that has certain things, I mean, someone's taken the time and the trouble to pay good money to have that put on their van and they can't spell it properly.
I felt like getting my test meters at my van and saying, how many shall I leave between me and you, mate, when I park? This is a metre, M-E-T-E-R is a metre. It's something we're testing things, you see.
Not a yard.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Hey,
Should we do a... How many of these do you write on a daily basis?
I just do things when something pops up in my head.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's something else, like the football. But I wrote this one the other week because you had some lads in here talking about dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm sure I can cobble together something about dinosaurs.
That's right. We had a young... he was a professor, wasn't he?
I don't know. He didn't sound like a professor. He sounded like a young lad to me.
Oh, right. No, he's about 60.
Is he? He's a young lad to me then.
He was talking about Dinosaur Isle and stuff. Yeah, no, that was... he's cracking on a bit. Here.
Is he?
Yeah.
We ain't making the most of this. When I first came over here in the 90s, it was all Dinosaur Isle.
Yeah.
The whole thing. Even the trains had dinosaurs on them. It seems to have lost its way, Dinosaur Isle, doesn't it?
I mean, it did say, you know, in the interview that there are... It's a hotbed of fossils and Lord knows
without
what.
Yeah, shadow of a doubt.
And we don't make enough noise about it. You're right.
Well, so I'll give you this one.
You're
How
right,
about
man.
That, right? I call this one Dino Batty.
Dino Batty?
Yeah, right. As a young child, a saurus was after I'd been bad. Something administered when I'd done wrong by an irate dad. I didn't know a single thing about those ancient reptiles or any other older stuff that was listed in books and files. A Diplodocus, a Triceratops, or perhaps a Stegosaur, a Velociraptor, an Archaeopteryx, or even an Allosaur. The Iguanodon was found and its thumb put on its nose, but never having seen one, a fair mistake, I suppose. Ankylosaurus, a Hadrosaur, or maybe Tyrannosaurus Rex, the king of the terrible lizards, would be biting all our necks. When it comes to size, Megalosaurus was a true giant reptile, but then along comes Brachiosaurus that will beat it by a mile. Gehalopterus was vampire-like. Oviraptor was an egg thief. Helicoprion was shark-like and Gigantoraptor had no teeth. Lupleurodon was a huge reptile that lived under the sea, but Elasmosaur in the Antarctic would have had it for its tea. The pterosaurs were winged lizards that roamed the Triassic skies. Quetzalcoatlus was the worst of all due to its massive size. It's hard to conceive that these were all the forebears of the modern bird, but I certainly would rather be under a modern one when it drops a crust. We take for granted when we think we have all turned all the pages, but we've been here a mere few thousand years and they all lived for ages. Anything is possible when we see those old fossils in the sand, but none of them are half as old as Mick Jagger and his band.
Congratulations on all of those pronunciations.
Oh, Quetzalcoatlus was the one that was I was struggling over. But it's amazing what turns up. I mean, there's over 300 species of dinosaurs that have been found, and I've no doubt that there's a load more still to be uncovered. I mean, we just got to wait for the next rainfall on the south of the White to find the next dinosaur that we don't know about. You know, it's happening all the time, isn't it?
I think you're absolutely right. We don't make enough of it. No. I mean, that is a strength. And if you recall, there was a film that came out a while ago, and I think they cast it on some commercial. And one of the commercials that was national for the Isle of Wight was Dinosaur Isle, and they made a big thing of it. But they don't make a big enough thing of it.
No, not at all.
Really don't.
I mean, we all hear about the Jurassic Coast and Lyme Bay and all the way along there from Durdledor to God knows where. You know, but the point about it all is that we've got it on our doorstep.
Yeah.
And I sometimes wonder myself whether the elaborate museum that was built in Sandown was actually the right thing to have done at that time, because it seems to me there was an awful lot more little things. I mean, I used to go to the dinosaur farm on the military road, and you could watch them there working on the fossils.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're all still there. I don't know if the bloke's still there or what. I mean, I took my kids when we first came over for a walk round the beach at Compton Bay to see the fossilised forest. I mean, that was just amazing to me. And then the dinosaur footprints. But when we went to the museum in Sandown, it was a little bit sort of like, well, this is what it looks like. But none of the stuff seemed to be real in there. It just seemed to be like models, you know?
Yeah,
I wonder
what you mean.
If they put all their eggs in the wrong basket there. You know?
Yeah, I mean, what was it, 1995, something like
something
that, 96?
Like that. Yeah,
I mean, obviously things were different then, but now I look at it and I think, no, you've got an opportunity now.
Yeah.
You've got people that want to be involved, and I'm pretty sure that if the right people get involved and do the right things, you could have something really phenomenal, I did question, is Sandown the right place? And they actually said yes. This professor said yes, absolutely, because that's where a lot of it all is, around Sandown.
I've got no doubt. I mean, it's the big bonus for Sandown, or it was. I mean, we all know that Sandown needs some sort of bonus at the moment, because it stumbles from one problem to another. Mm. It really does need that, and it needs it to be pushed out. I mean, I thought it was great when we had the trains all painted with dinosaurs. I thought that was a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
But, you know, I shouldn't think we'll ever see that again.
No, sadly. Perhaps we need cheering up with a funny poem.
Do you want a funny poem, dear?
Yeah.
I better put that one away then. And that one. I send you the one about Denise?
No, is this doable, was it?
Yeah. All right. Denise. You have Denise of Denelephant, I said to Denise at school. She slapped me with her wooden ruler and said I was a fool. Why do you always make fun of me? You're such a wicked bloke. One day you will also have bad knees and it won't be such a joke. Of course, I always laughed it off as any young lad would. Nothing anyone could say would have done me any good. For knees, they are the first to give when joints all start to go. And when you have spent half your life crawling to and fro, this can quickly become a problem, especially when at work. The other lads will start to laugh as if you're trying to shirk. But what they don't really see is the agony of it all. Some days just getting out of bed can end up with a fall. Cartilages can all be torn, muscles invariably ripped. Ligaments are easily damaged when stairs are frequently tripped. Sometimes it's the silliest things that really start them off. A swift turn when getting out the van, or even the odd cough. A visit to the dear old doc will never quite diminish the actual pain of standing up, even when your dinner to finish. A blood test tells me arthritis is the root of all my ires. and eventually a knee replacement when this one expires. But such great swelling can't be that, I query with some rage. Well, what exactly do you expect? Of course it is your age. But I'm 65, nearly 66. I'm hardly down and out. No, sir, but what you surely have is a real bad case of gout. Gout? Gout, I holler out. But I don't smoke or drink or swear. I never eat Stilton cheese or drink port without a care. Oh, come, sir, the poor doc replies. It's nothing of the sort. Some people consume too much and others stick to sport. Either way, your joints will wear, especially with a frame like yours, and if you don't take greater care, you'll be crawling on all fours. So here I lay in my easy chair, one move and I'm in pain. Now I know what Denise meant. She said it was a silly game. My knees now look saggy and wrinkled, just like hers did back then. But then she really had the last laugh. After all, we were only just 10.
Is that a true story, that one?
Almost.
So, what was she called? Denise?
Denise, yeah.
And was she was
and
called
I used
Denise?
To call her Denelephant.
Denelephant?
Yeah. Because she had Denise of Denelephant.
All right.
It's just a bit of fun. It's just silly things, but they stir the brain. But that's one of the things with our language. We can do this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, could you imagine trying to do this in French?
No, not that dinosaur one.
No, exactly. But, it's, you know, that's what I like about the English language. I don't know about schools these days. When I was at school, we actually was told to write poetry. We was taught to write things that rhymed. And if we couldn't find a word that rhymed with what we wanted to rhyme, we'd look it up in a dictionary.
Yeah.
Try and find something. I mean, these days, I think we've still got Roget's Thesaurus. I think we can still find words in that. But we've got such a fascinating wealth of language. Why shouldn't we use it? Why should we have to stick with people saying like and ain't and core and what? You know, let's get some decent words out there. Let's teach the kids some proper words.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think half the time, and when you watch old BBC coverage of how they used to read the news,
yeah,
everyone pronounced and said things properly and in a way that you wanted to. That's what you wanted to aspire to.
Yeah.
Whereas now, I just think it's become a little bit watered down. Those people that we used to look up to, they're still around, but they've been watered down with other people that just get. Some of the commentary on the Olympic Games, I mean, it's been absolutely dire.
Well, it has, hasn't it? I mean, you know, I mentioned earlier on about Kenneth Wolstenholme. We can all remember Kenneth Wolstenholme. He had a very fine voice. Some of the great people on the pitch, they think it's all over, it is now. Well, that's the thing. It's, you can remember that. Could you imagine what they'd be saying today? You know, they'd be shouting and hollering. And normally, if you're watching the football on the telly, you've got somebody who's a professional pundit who you may never have heard of or might have been a part player in something. And they're only on there because they can't get anybody else or they can't afford anybody else.
Yeah.
You know? I get sad with it all, I do.
My wife gets so stroppy. When she watches a game of football with me, I mean, it's not the easiest thing, especially if you're an Arsenal fan. Yeah. It's not the easiest thing to go through at the moment. But there's this one lady, I can't remember what her name is. She is a former footballer. And I think it's the European games that she used to comment on. All right, we weren't in Europe that long, but there was a few times that we were listening to the commentary, and this lady would go, opportunity,
yeah,
opportunity,
yeah.
And I know that because my wife is, she's the sort of person, and I'm pretty sure you're the same, if you write something out, and you've got your apostrophe or something in the wrong place, she'd come along and correct it. That's what she would do.
Where's the full stop?
So sitting there...
Exclamation mark, yeah.
Sitting there listening to this lady going, opportunity. You could see her getting more and more uncomfortable sat there watching the Arsenal game. Yeah. I'm watching it and feeling uncomfortable because we're getting beat by someone we should, you know, win against.
Yeah.
And she's uncomfortable because she's going, opportunity, every 5 minutes.
Well, I mean, I used to turn over the BBC Breakfast because they had that Steph McGovern on there. And she had a Middlesbrough accent. I could never understand a word she was saying.
See, I didn't mind the accent.
Well,
it's
I couldn't understand her. Well, I mean, I'm not the only one because she hardly gets a viewer on a mixed lunch or whatever it's called, or lost lunch, or lost lunch, or I don't know. She does some lunchtime programme. I've never watched it. But, you know, I could never understand a word she said. Not a word. Mm. And that's national television.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've looked at it and thought, well, why don't you have that for that area, that for those people? But then we're all living in different areas now,
we just got to get used to it. The BBC moved the Radio 5, which I was an avid listener to, for the sport, and they used to have some decent people on there to talk.
Yeah.
And they moved the whole lot to Manchester because it needed to be less London-centric, because they had the ump with people walking around the corner to get quotes from someone in Shepherd's Bush Market or up to Westminster and that. So what do they do now? Well, they're in Manchester. They go around the corner to the local school. They do exactly the same thing, but in Manchester.
Mm.
The only problem there is that half the country is missing out, because everywhere south of Manchester doesn't really want to know about Manchester any more they wanted to know about London. But what about Plymouth? What about Exeter? What about Southampton? What about Bristol? The only thing we get from Bristol is a weatherman on ITV who nobody wants to listen to anyway. You know?
Which one's that one?
Oh, the geezer who thinks he's a presenter and he's actually only a weatherman. The one who Piers Morgan stalked off because he had a row with him.
Oh, yeah. Alex, what's it?
Yeah, whatever his name is. Yeah. He's a weatherman, but he thinks he's, you know, if you're on there to read the weather, read the weather.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in your opinions.
Yeah, just give us
the weather.
Get the weather right.
Exactly.
Then you can have an opinion.
Exactly. And that goes for a lot of radio stations. All you get is their opinions, but that's not what you're listening for.
All right, I'm sorry.
I listen to you for the music, Ian. I like the music.
You don't like my opinions.
I don't mind your opinions.
Oh, I've got loads of opinions, but I'm not sharing them with you today.
Okay.
Because we're doing your poems, aren't we?
Oh.
So have you got another one?
Well, I'm going to save that one till last. That's an Isle of Wight one, that is.
All right. Has it got? Because that's in the news recently, the dialect, the Isle of Wight dialect.
Oh, yes, Nipper.
Gert.
Yeah.
Gert Mally. Was it a Mally Shag?
Mally Shag, yeah.
Yeah.
And Emmett.
And Nammit.
Galley Bagger.
All that. You used to use the term Gert all the time.
Yeah, Gert Nipper.
We used to have a nanny Gert.
Yeah. Well, that's Gertrude, isn't it? Well, I'll give you this one here, because this is a little bit more sort of like, this is not humorous. This is more finger pointing and do something, right?
I'm hovering over the button.
No. It's called She No Longer Sells Seashells on the Seashore. Right.
What was she not selling?
She's no longer selling seashells.
Shelling?
Yeah. I put my teeth in. Hang on a minute. Right. The tide comes in and washes the shore. The waves crash down, the castle's no more. All is now cleaned and all is replaced. The long sandy beach has now been refaced. But this is no longer the way that we see it. The beaches are all covered with rubbish and stuff. Plastic bags have replaced all of the crabs. A Tyneside codfish for the flounder and dab. The human detritus has taken over the place. From the long lines of rubbish we all hide our face. For far too long now we've dumped all our stuff from far out at sea and over the cliff. We chuck all our rubbish out from the shore, but then just like clockwork it floats back once more. Not just the plastic, but glass bottles too. Occasional tin cans are used roll from the loo. The council's no better, and the sewers push out into the deep ocean where no one's about. When the tide turns, along with the din, the waves all come crashing and bring it back in. So what will become of our long golden sands? Those childhood pools where we all washed our hands? No more Punch and Judy to make us all scream. The pollution has spoiled our idyllic dream. But why is it so that this happens today? It was never supposed to have been this way. The sea is a gold mine with riches galore, and yet we fill it with rubbish and more. The fishes that swim there, the odd crab or eel, have no way to tell us how terrible they feel. And then when we eat them, well, where have they been? One thing is for certain, they will no longer be clean. So we must do all our bit and take our bags to the cars, pick up the fag butts, the cams and the jars. We still have a chance, there's a mountain to climb, but we must all save the oceans while we still have the time.
Hmm.
There you go.
Yeah, bang on.
Yeah.
Bang on that one. You look, it's like sat with old Greta Thunberg here.
Oh, no. Yeah. I would like her if she'd smile.
Yeah.
I'd like her if she smiled. She doesn't smile. And that's the trouble with a lot of these people. It's like Katrina Johnson Thompson, our Olympic hope in the heptathlon, who has got a bad ankle.
Oh,
she
right.
Never smiles. She's miserable as flipping sin.
Somebody's just come through about her. She's pulled up in the. Injured.
But if she's gone there injured, which she has, then why has she gone there? Why couldn't someone else have gone who might have had more of a chance?
Yeah, oh, that's a good point. But there's just come through actually. She's actually pulled up in the 200 metres. And she had a really good chance of a medal too.
Well, she was. Almost nailed on for a silver medal, because the Belgian one is way ahead of her, I think, in stature. But what's the point of going to the Olympics if you're injured? You know, that's like you turning up for your radio show and you've got no voice. What's the point?
Gets me out of the house, though, Arthur.
I didn't bring the poem about you painting your front door. I thought that might be embarrassing.
What you got for us now?
I'm trying to lower the tone a little bit, actually. But I think that might be a little bit upsetting for one or two people if I read that one out.
Oh, really?
I'm not sort of saying my family. I mean anybody that's listening in. Because it does... I'll read it out. This one's got no title.
All right,
it's sad.
It's just sad.
It's not all about being funny.
Is it okay to be... No, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Is it all right to read out, Arthur?
Well, you know, it's...
Are you testing the water?
The thing is, with poetry, it doesn't always have to rhyme.
No.
You see? So, this one, I sit by the door, as a good animal should. I await my master's entrance. What has it brought for me today? Perhaps a tasty treat, or the scraps from a tray. If I am good, perhaps I will be spared the normal grunt or the flailing hand. I don't ask for much, but just some love, and once in a while more than a little shove. I do my best to keep out the way. I hide my face during the long day. The dark nights are worse, though. Who knows what is to come? Perhaps I'll be taken out, or will he not need to shout at me? Oh, I do hope he's had a good day today without pain, and I will be spared a bad night again. I long to snuggle up close by the fire, to share a smile before we retire. Once more to the bedroom, where it can be cold, I can lay beside him and my body he'll hold. But these days a stick to fetch is all I can muster, while around his sometimes friends they all cluster. I know getting old is what happens for sure, and none of us know what is waiting any more. But I cannot help feeling, as he pushes me away, why, oh, why did he marry me that day?
Oh, wow, that's really sad, isn't it? There's a few people out there that are now looking at each other and, he's got a point there, you know.
Yeah.
Crikey. I would imagine that that's become more apparent over the last 18 months.
Well, I can't speak about places I've been or people I've seen, but I will say that there's an awful lot of people that are finding it, that flies back, that are finding it deliberate or difficult, shall we say, to meet other people, to even converse with other people. There's a lot of barriers that have sprung up.
Mm.
And there's an awful lot of people out there that think they are entitled to tell you what you can and can't do. And that is one of the things I'm finding very hard to come to terms with. Albeit in the papers or in the news or on the internet, there's a whole raft of people who feel they are entitled to tell you that you can't do what you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, when you look at the last 18 months and you've got, sadly, you've got certain people high up in government telling you you can't do something and they quite clearly go and do it themselves, that just breeds that kind of mentality, unfortunately.
The thing is, we've all suffered with this one way or the other. We've all had to deal with something which most of us in our lifetimes have never had to deal with. I mean, but it goes around, it comes around. My mother's parents both died in 1935 in a flu epidemic. They died in the same week. Left my mum and her two sisters and her two brothers as orphans.
Mm.
You know, that these things have always come around. It's just that with the travel we've got around the world, it means that we get it a lot quicker. And, it's an inconvenient truth, but we all hear about the Delta variant of COVID and all that lot. nobody seems to ask the question, where did the Kent variant come from? Well, we all know where the Kent variant came from. It came across in plastic boats from France. Because, I mean, this is not a political statement. We've all seen that we've had such an explosion of people coming across the channel from France. Are they all tested? Have they had a jab? Do we even know who they are? We don't. And yet, we're making it difficult for genuine people who've got genuine grievances to do, you know, to come here. And yet, that is allowed to happen. I don't understand why. I don't know why the French aren't doing something about it.
Well, yeah, this is something. This is a fascinating topic, because I was watching the news last week and they were saying that the Brits now are paying the French to police things their ends, millions and millions, and you know, not just a couple of million, but hundreds of millions of pounds to do that. And you do question it. You see these people coming across on a boat, and you do think, what is the state of play then? When they get here, are they tested? Are they, you know, we don't know. I mean, all I know is, and I think this is something that we can rest assured, that person must be really desperate to put themselves in a little plastic dinghy to try and get across the water. That being said, I totally agree that, you know, if people need help, then they should definitely get it. But there's a right protocol to go down.
There certainly is. And also, unfortunately, there's an awful lot of countries between us and the place they've originated that seem to have shipped them on and passed them on willy-nilly and don't care. Mm. And back to that Belarus, they're opening their doors to ship them all through. They're not going to keep them. So, you know, because they're threatening Europe with it. So, you know, it's just something that's going on. And if we're trying to keep our heads down and all trying to do the right thing and be reasonable about stuff, we expect it to be across the board. We don't expect it to be us all chained up indoors and a load of people jumping on a boat and suddenly landing here and going to what they want. You know, the only thing I would say is that them plastic boats coming across the channel are a darn sight more they're a darn sight more on time than some of the ferries that we've got at the moment, because we can't seem to get a ferry across from Southampton and Portsmouth, can we? You know. Wow.
I think what they do across the water, I think, is incredible. When it comes down to the Isle of Wight, Southampton, Portsmouth, I do.
They've done a lot, but we, you know, we've had a few pretty major sillinesses going on in recent times, and I don't know. I mean, we could sit here and poke fun at things on the Isle of Wight all day long, because there's more than enough of them. But if you've got a minute, I'll read out this next one, which has nothing to do with the Isle of Wight. This right. is just me venting my spleen.
Who are you venting your spleen at?
Blighted Telecom.
Blighted Telecom?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've put this one down as two colours, so this could be read with two different people, you see.
Right.
This is personal experience.
See, that wouldn't have... I mean, you could have given that to me, but I wouldn't have seen the colours because I'm colourblind. No. So you'd have been nudging me, saying, it's your bit, right. Your bit.
I'm not going to put a voice in, I'll just read it. "Let's see if I can help you," the functionary said. "With a little bit of luck, we can put this to bed. Just tell me your problems, I'm sure I can assist. But this is not even the first time," I hissed. "I've been promised a lot and have little to show, and what little I have had is now, well, I don't know. What does it take to get a decent connection here? I was having these issues for most of last year. Try watching a series or a video call. I can't send an email, and now I've got nothing at all." "We'll send out a man. He'll sort it out." "But you've already sent two, and they've done nout. We'll send another. Some are more willing. We will all get it sorted, and it won't cost you a shilling." "But he came and he went, and it's now worse than ever. I'm no engineer, but even I am too clever. To know that something is externally not right, I'll get more sense from the cats late at night. Well, it's where you are living. Things just can't be done. I'm sorry to say, but I know it's not fun. The 21st century is not working for you, so there really is no point in getting into a stew. We'll give you some money off. That will sweeten the pill. You will see 20 quid knocked off your next bill." 20 flipping quid, I blurted right out. "Well, it's a fair offer, sir. There's no need to shout. But I want it all fixed. I want what I pay for. As it stands, I'll be better to just shout from the door. When will it be done? When can the internet be on? For us, as we are speaking, it's another week gone. Oh, raise your complaint, sir. We'll get out a man. But in the meantime, just keep hold of the tin can.
Hey, look, we've run out of time.
Have we?
Yeah, I didn't realise how quick this this
didn't
has
get
gone.
To read me wonderful World of Whiteout.
Well, you're gonna have to come back.
Oh, blimey! Well, there you go, Ian.
You are. You're gonna have to come back. But thanks for coming in.
No, it's no sweat. It's no sweat. We just have to do these things, Ian.
We do.
You know, I might approach retirement next year if I'm not careful. So there might be a lot more. But then again, there might be a lot less. I might find something else to do instead.
Well, I mean, because I know last year, was it you celebrated your 65th, was it?
66. No, that was this year.
Yeah, last year 65, so this year 66. So next year you can officially retire, can you?
Possibly. I'll leave you that one to read at your leisure.
Okay. Thank you. I've put my glasses on.
Oh, no. Anyway, it's been a blast, as ever.
Yeah, thanks,
and,
Arthur.
Nice to see you. To what? See you, nice.